All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Good morning. Today's daf is daf tes. We're going to start from Ches Amud Beis. Our shir this morning is sponsored by Jerry and Abby Applebaum in commemoration of the yahrzeit of Abby's uncle, Sidney Friedman, Shia Michal Ben Avram, and by Ed and Iris Miller for a refuah shleima, successful surgery for Chaim Yosef Ben Basia. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Neshama has an aliyah, Nechola a refuah shleima. So let's pick up. We're picking up again, Ches Amud Beis, 8b. So we left off. Let's take a look at Amrli Rava. We actually started a little bit later than that, left off a little bit. Let's start with Amrli Rava. It's 2-4. Actually, let's start with Ella Amar Rava. It's 2-4-5 lines up from the bottom. So we'll say just to reorient ourselves a little bit. We had two different cases. We've switched gears a little bit from Gitei Nashim to Shechrure Avodim, to get Shechrur. Right? Remember again, so get Shechrur is a document of emancipation through which an Eved, Kenani, ultimately becomes free. So Bosei, remember again, there are many similarities that the Gemara is trying to develop. Those similarities will grow. Emir Hashem will see in the next Mishnah as well. So the Gemara quoted two different cases. In case number one, there was an Eved who brought his get, and in the get it said, Atzmicha u'nechasai kinu yimcha. You, Eved, and my property are acquired to you. So the master is conveying to the Eved two different things. He's conveying to the Eved himself, right? I'm giving you, because remember, the Eved is a possession. I'm giving you to yourself, and I'm giving you my property as well. So in that case, the Gemara Paskind, the Eved is able to acquire himself, but he does not acquire the property. What was the logic behind that? The Eved could acquire himself simply by attesting to the veracity of the document through Befanei Nechtav uBefanei Nechtam. That's all he has to say. However, when it comes to property, so property requires formal Kiyum Shtaros, which will require ultimately, again, Eidus with two people. That was case number one. Case number two was a case where the Adon, the master, writes, Kol nechasai kenuyin lecha. All of my property is acquired to you. So in that case, remember, the master is not distinguishing between the Eved and the property. He's lumping everything together. So that case was a machlokes Abaye and Rava. So Abaye originally wanted to say that since he's Kona himself, he's Kona ultimately the Nechasim, the property as well. So Rava wanted to say it doesn't work. To acquire himself, that's possible, but to acquire the property, that's going to require formal Kiyum Shtaros. To which Abaye then reverses his position and says what? And says that since he can't be Kona the property, he also what? Can't be Kona himself. Now we'll say, now what seems to be at play in the Gemara right now, although we will reverse this, but what seems to be at play is this notion of whether or not we can go ahead and kind of split up the document, or I should say split up the words. Could we splice the words? So when the Adon writes, I hereby convey all of my property to you, do we have the ability to kind of split those words into two distinct statements? One of them being, Eved, I'm giving you over to you, and number two being, I'm giving my property over to you. And in which case, again, we could accept the first statement, and the Eved could acquire himself, but we can't accept the second statement of acquisition of property without formal Kiyum Shtaros. So that seems to be the tension over here between Abaye and Rava. So we'll say with that, let's pick up. So five lines are from the bottom. Ela Amar Rava. Therefore, Rava says the following. Rava says in all cases. Now what does all cases mean? So Rashi points out, Bein Atzmicha Unechasai, whatever formulation the Adon said, whatever formulation he used, whether he said, I hereby convey over to you ownership of you and my property, or he said, all of my property is yours, in all of these cases, Rava said, the Eved is able to acquire himself, Atzmo Kana, because you also remember, how is it Atzmo Kana? When he shows up in Bezin with that get, with that document, and he says, Befanei Nechtav, Befanei Nechtam, that's it, he's out. But the property cannot be acquired without formal kiyum shtaros. Amalei Rav Adam Bar Masna l'Rava Kiman. Whose opinion does this reflect? K'Reb Shimon. This will reflect the view of Reb Shimon. What does Reb Shimon say? The Amar Palgin and Dibura. Because Reb Shimon is of the opinion that in general we have the ability to splice a statement and to split a statement and to make it into two. This not, because we learned, Hakosev kol nechasov la'avdo, if one writes all of his property to his eved, so in other words, one is writing a document in which they are conveying all of their property to their eved, yatza ben chorin. In that case, again, the eved has gone free. Shir karka kolshu. Rabbi said, listen to this. If the Adon goes ahead and writes, I hereby convey to you all of my property, except for one field, but he doesn't specify which field, then what's the halacha? Lo yatza ben chorin. Bless you. In that case, the eved does not go free. Why doesn't the eved go free? Because lemaisa again, Rabbi said, without specifying which property the Adon is withholding for himself, it's possible that the property that he is referring to is what? Right? Is the Eved himself. Even though, again, he's going to say a field. Remember, again, Avadim Hukshul Karkos, an Eved himself is compared to a field. And therefore, again, in the absence of knowing which piece of property he is withholding, Lemaisa, again, the Eved does not go free. Reb Shimon says, the Olam top of Tassel Medalef, the Olam Hu Ben Chorin, Ad Shiyomar. Reb Shimon says it's not true. Even if at the end of the day the Adon said that you are hereby free, you're hereby free, or I'm giving you all of my property except for a field, the Eved will still go free. Ad sheyomar kol nechasai nesunin leploni avdi. The only problematic case is the following, where a person goes ahead and writes, all of my property is given to Ploni, my servant, chutz mi echad mi rivo shebahem, with the exception of 1/10,000th of my property. 1/10,000th of my property. So I say, so what does that mean? So Rashi points out over here the following. Essentially what Reb Shimon says is like this. If the Adon goes ahead and says, I'm hereby giving you all of my property is yours. All of my property is yours, with the exception of a field. So we assume that a field means a field. Field means a field, not the Eved. He didn't indicate which field he's withholding for himself. Okay, that's a matter we have to be mevarer. When the Adon says, I hereby give you over all of my property with the exception of 1/10,000th of my property, that Rabbo says where we get into issues. Why? Because since he's withheld some ambiguous amount, that's where we have to be concerned that what? That it's the Eved that he's withholding, and therefore the Eved does not go free. Rashi points out, by the way, let's say we know for sure, though, that the Eved is worth 1/10,000th of, more than 1/10,000th of the property, to which Rashi points out, 1/10,000th might be a statement of the Eved's worth in the Adon's eyes. Right? So again, he's saying, you know what, you're like a 1/10,000th of my property. So the idea, we'll say, so why is this important for us? Because the point that we're taking from here is that Reb Shimon is of the opinion that we could differentiate within a statement. That even when a master says to his Eved, Kol Mechasov, I hereby give you all of my property, so we are able to split that statement into two. There are two statements. What are the two statements contained in there? Statement number one is, I'm giving you back to you. In other words, I'm emancipating you. And statement number two is, I'm giving you all of my property. Then I will say, the ability to verify those two statements are different processes. The ability to go in for the Eved to verify the fact that he is free just requires befanei nechtav ubefanei nechtam, just like a regular get. The process for verifying that he is the owner of the master's property, that would require kiyum shtaros. So the point that Gemara is making over here is that apparently Rava holds like Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon is the one who says that you could take a general statement and break it down into smaller specific statements. Says the Gemara, v'hamar av Yosei bar min yumi, amar av Nachman, b'yat av Yosei bar min yumi, se'en neymar av Nachman, even though Rabbi Yossi praised Rabbi Shimon, right, that we just stated before, that you palgin and dibure, halacha k'Rav Meir, the halacha in fact follows Rav Meir. But so take a look at Rashi, v'am Rav Nachman halacha k'Rav Meir, delo yatsa l'cheirus. See, Rabbi Yossi, interestingly enough, say as much as Rabbi Yossi, as much as Rabbi Yossi praised the shita of Rabbi Shimon, the halacha follows Rabbi Meir, namely, that in these cases, the Eved does not go free. This sanya, because we learned in a brisa, kishen emru dvarim lefnei Rabbi Yossi, when these matters were stated before Rabbi Yossi, Kara Alav Hamikra Hazeh. So they went ahead and they said the following pasuk. Quotes over here. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Manush. All right, so the Gemara says, so Svasayim Yishak, he quotes over here from the Pasuk in Mishlei, Svasayim Yishak, literally again, the lips will kiss Meshiv Devariv Nechochim. He who responds with good words, correct words. So both say, Rashi understands over here that this is a reference to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is considered to be the respondent to Rabbi Meir, and as much as Rabbi Shimon's words are so beautiful, they're not the accepted words. In other words, that the position of Rabbi Meir is accepted, then I both say in these cases where there's just this general statement of Kol Mechasai Kinuyin Lecha, ultimately, again, the Eved does not go free. But did Rav Nachman really say that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon and not Rabbi Meir? Excuse me, Rabbi Meir and not Rabbi Shimon. Listen to this case, Rabbi. This is a fascinating case. Now, just by way of background, there's something called the Matna Shchiv Meira. Now, in general, the halacha is the following. If you want to give a gift to someone, so an expression of verbal intent, or I should say a verbal expression of intent, in halacha is not binding. So if I say I want to give you a gift, or for that matter, again, I say I'm going to sell you my car, those statements by themselves are not binding. In order for something to be binding, there has to be a ma'aseh kinyan. See, ma'aseh kinyan, that's why, again, you know, that's why all of us hopefully have heard this speech, right? When you get married, Yehuda, you'll hear it, B'sha Tova Mitzlachos, right? So all, I didn't mean to be Mavayish you like that. Right? But he is available, if anybody knows, if anyone knows. So what happens? So we sit down with the chassan, right? And you go ahead and, you go ahead and the chassan wants to commit himself to the ksuva. So again, a mere verbal expression of intent to say, I accept upon myself the details of the ksuva is not enough. There has to be Kabbalah Sakin. There's one exception to this rule. The one exception to this rule is the shchiv mira. Let's say if a person is on his deathbed, Chazal gave him the ability to gift property without having to use the mechanism of a kinyan. The reason for that is Yisuve Daite, because we want a Shchiv Meira to have some level of mental tranquility as well. And when a person is on their deathbed, they want to know that they can get all of their affairs in order. Therefore, Chazal gave him the ability to convey property without having to use the mechanism of Kinyan. Now, of course, the interesting questions that come up is what happens when a guy's on his deathbed. You know, everybody is very generous on their deathbed. That's the general cloud. Then what happens? Baruch Hashem, the Mishaberach worked. He gets better. So now, what happens now to all of those matanos? So this is a real discussion in halacha. So here the Gemara says, Shchiv Meira, Shekasav Kol Nechasav La'avdo. So I say, so what happens? So Shchiv Meira, I will say, now again, just to give you the contemporary, so let's say somebody gives all of their property to their caretaker, right? Somebody assigns all of their entire estate to their caretaker. He assigns, so he's writing all of his property to his Eved. And what happens? Va'amad, va'amad. And he goes ahead and he recovers. Baruch Hashem, is there for a shalema? So what's the halacha? Chozer b'nechasim, ve'ino chozer be'eved. So we'll say, again, understand that the matana of a shchiv meira is clearly a matana with a tenai. It's a pretty, meaning, again, it's clear circumstantially that the reason he's giving this gift is why? Because I'm going to die. Which is implicit in that statement is, if I don't die, I don't want these gifts to be chal. So therefore, again, if the Shchiv Meira writes all of his property to his Eved, then he recovers, what's the halacha? Chozer b'nechasim, he has the ability to take back the property, ve'eino chozer be'eved, but he does not have the ability to go ahead and take back the emancipation of the Eved. Because remember, again, when he goes ahead and he conveys all of the property to the Eved, part of that property is what? Is the Eved himself. So once the Eved goes free, the Gemara is saying is, there's no taking that back. The property, however, can be taken back. So the Gemara says, "Matna shchiv mirahu ve'ino chozer be'eved shahari yatsa alav shem ben chorin." So we'll say here. Remember the fact that the shchiv mirah can go ahead and take back the property. So that's not a chiddush, right? There's nothing novel in that. We know that's how matna. We'll say it's no different. By the way, no different than any other transaction that's based on an explicit tanai. So if I sell you my house because I'm moving to Eretz Yisrael, and then it turns out that for whatever reason I can't move to Eretz Yisrael, I have the ability to go ahead and take back my house because that's what the sale was predicated on. So Shechiv Mirah gives a gift ultimately, again, to his Eved, gives a gift to his Eved. So Lamaisa, at the end of the day, was predicated on the fact that he's going to die. He doesn't die. He could take back the gift. The one thing he can take back is the emancipation of the Eved. Why? So the Gemara says, Shar Yatsa Alav Shem Ben Chorin. Because literally, the Eved has already had the identity of a free man. And once he's had that identity of a free man, that cannot be taken back. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shar Yatsa Alav Shem Cheirus. V'asr lihishtabed bo alma palginan dibura. I will say, and therefore again, it is usher to go ahead and to be mishtabed. It is usher to go ahead and enslave him. So we'll say, so essentially once you become a ben chorin, you remain a ben chorin. And you do not go ahead, and the master, even once he recovers, does not have the ability to take that back from the edit. But I will say, but what do you see from here? You see from here, palginan dibure. Rabbi says the operative phrase. Palginan dibure means we split the words. So in this case over here, remember, the Shchiv Meirah said, all of my property is given over to you, my Eved. Shchiv Meirah recovers. What do? We split his words. We say, again, the Eved ultimately remains a Ben Chorin, but the property goes back to the Shchiv Meirah. Now, Rabbi says, now why is this problematic? Because the Gemara just said before, Rav Nachman said before, that, again, the Halacha does not follow Rabbi Shimon, that palginan dibure. Rather, again, the halacha follows Rabbi Meir that lo pagin dibura, we don't split the words, but yet clearly here we see that what? You do split the words. To which the Gemara says, Ela Amar Rav Ashi, no. There's a different issue over here. Amar Rav Ashi, Hasam, Hainu Taima, Mishum Delav Krus Gitahu. The reason the Gemara says over here that Rabbi Meir had a problem with some of the earlier cases was nothing to do with Palgin and Dibure, but rather what? Was because the Gittin, the Get Shichra, Adam David, there's seats. You okay? Okay. So the reason ultimately, again, we had a problem with these documents was Lemais, again, because Lav Kruskita. Lav Kruskita means that the Get did not effectively sever the relationship. Now, we'll say, now what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Hasam, it's a very important Rashi. Says Rashi, the Amar of Nachman Halacha Krabi Meir, when Rav Nachman said above that the halacha follows Rabbi Meir, time alav mishum delo palgina diburehu. The reason was not because Rav Nachman disagreed with the principle that you could split a statement into two. Daha kinami hiskir shem shir karka ploni deleka plukta de dibura kam Rav Meir delo yatzalachirus. Ela taima mishum delav krus gituhu. Rabbi Meir's problem is the following. Rabbi Meir's issue is that whenever there's something withheld in the statement, it's not a proper sefer krisus. It's not a proper book of division. Now, what does that mean? Let's finish the Rashi. He says, "Degabe isha ksiv sefer krisus." I will say, remember, the way that the Torah never uses the word get, right? The Torah uses the word sefer krisus. Sefer krisus literally means a book of division, a book that divides. We'll see Davar HaKoris Beino LeBeino. V'Shechruri Avadim Gmiri La La Me'isha. And Abba said, we learn a Gzer Shava of La La from an Isha to Avadim. That La La, that Gzer Shava links a Get Shechrur together with a regular Get, what we call a Get Isha. D'Chsev Chupasha La La Nitan La U'Chsev Akasav La U'Ba'inan Behu Krisus. So says the Gemara something radically different. The machlokas between between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon is not really a din in palginan dibure, meaning even Rabbi Meir agrees that you could split a statement into two smaller statements. Rabbi Meir's issue is the following. Rabbi Meir feels that any time the master issues a statement that does not fully sever the relationship, that the relationship is not severed. Therefore, Rabbi Meir holds in any case where the master says, you are free except for this, or you are free except for that, or all of my property is yours except for this, Rabbi Meir holds that is a fundamental failure in the get shichur, in the document of emancipation, and therefore the eved will not go free. In a case where there is no shear, in a case ultimately, again, where the master is not holding anything back, that's where Rabbi Meir says ultimately that the eved is able to go free. We both say, bottom line, halacha lemaisa, the way the Rambam paskins in this case, is that any time that the master goes ahead and uses a double statement. For example, whether he says, Atzmicha unechasai kinuyin lecha, whether the master, this is for an eved, the master writes, I'm hereby giving you over yourself and my property, or he says, all of my property is given over to you. So the Rambam paskins in that case, the eved is able to acquire himself. That's what he's able to do. And again, he's able to acquire himself. Well, if the master doesn't contest it, he's just able to acquire himself. Or again, if he's bringing the get from, let's say, overseas, he has to say, and once he says that, he is acquired to himself. However, whenever it comes to property, in order for the Eved to prove that he is the owner of the property, he has to go through the formal process of kiyum shtaros, of upholding the veracity of the document, which would require, ultimately, again, validating the signatures on the document. That is bottom line halacha lemaisa from this sugya. So let's go back to him. Yeshalav Orin. If so, remember, this is quoting from the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said, if there's anyone who objects to the get, so ultimately, again, you will go ahead and uphold the get through its signatures. Ir er kama. How many people are objecting to the get? Ilei me'ir echad. If you want to say it's one person, or it's one person objecting to the get. V'amarab Yochanan divriya kol ein ir or pachas mishnayim. But yet we learn that ir or objection to a get cannot come in the form of less than two witnesses. Ve'ela ir or trei. If that's the case, trei u'trei ninhu. My chazis de samchis ahani, samoch ahani. So we'll say, but again, if there are two people who are coming to dispute the veracity of the get, right, how much time is it? I'm sorry. I made alternate arrangements. Thank you, Rishon. Thank you. So what? Am I lagging a little bit? Is that the? Thank you. So what says this? Thank you, Rishon. So the Gemara says like this. So if it's two people, so why do the two who come? You have two against two. You have two who sign on the document. You have two ultimately now who are coming to object against the get. So who says that we should go ahead and rely on this two over that two? To which the Gemara says, Ela iror debal. Rather, what we're actually talking about over here, is that the husband is coming to object. To which the Gemara says, essentially, that if the husband comes to object about the veracity of the get, and this is talking about a case, by the way, where the shaliach was unable to say, b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam. So in such a...
2 minutes.
Okay, everybody, please come into the main hall for dinner. So the idea over here is that in the event that lemaisa again the shaliach is unable to say b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam, in that case, and the baal comes along and the baal is ma'arer, the baal objects to the get, then under those circumstances, again, we uphold the veracity of the document through the signatures. We're both saying on a real level, the fast starts in just a moment, so I'll just pause for a second.
Go.
Okay. Says the Mishnah, Hamevi get me medina sayam. If someone brings a get from overseas, and they are unable to say, we actually quoted this Mishnah in the last sugya. Person brings a get from overseas and they're unable to say, if there are witnesses who sign on the document, so the document could be upheld through its signatures. Echad gitei nashim, ve'echad shichrurei avadim. So Rabbo say this is true again, whether it's gitin nashim, whether it's gitin for a woman, or shichruri avadim, or again documents of emancipation for an eved. In these cases, Rabbo say so. Echad gitin. I'm sorry, let me read that differently. Echad gitin nashim ve'echad shichruri avadim shavu lemolich ulemevi. So Rabbo say gitin nashim and shichruri avadim. So divorce documents as well as documents of emancipation are the same for what we call lemolich ulemevi. Lemolich ulemevi means that for both of them you have to say befanei nechtav ubefanei nechtam. V'zu achas min adrachim sheshavu gitinash meshichrui avadim. And this is one of the ways. This is one of the ways in which again shichrui avadim, in which gitin for women and shichrui avadim are the same. Says the Gemara, my eino yachol. But we actually learned this already before. So what's this case of Resh Liach was unable to say b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam? Ile mechireish, if you want to say we're talking about that the Shliach is a deaf mute, so chireish barisu yegitu, is a chireish able to bring the get? But, and we learned that kol k'sherin l'havias haget, chutz, mechireish shota v'katan, but yet we learned that everyone is kosher to bring a get, with the exception of a chereish, shota, and a katan. So these, a chereish, shota, and a katan are not permitted to bring a get to begin with. Remember, a chereish is a deaf mute. Shota is someone who's mentally deranged. Katan is a minor. So it can't be talking about that the case over here is where it's a chereish who's bringing the get, because lemais, at the end of the day, a chereish is not fit to bring a get. Rather, what's the case? Amar Rav Yosef, hachob ma'askinon, kegon shenasnu la, kishuhu pikeach, v'lo hispik lomar b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam ad sheneschareish. Was a very interesting case. The case over here is where the shaliach, when he was engaged, he was fully functional. When he was engaged, he was speaking, he was hearing, something happened along the way. He has now become a deaf mute. So what happens? He shows up with the get in Eretz Yisrael from Medina Sayam. He is unable to say b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam. Even though what? Even though originally he was able to do so. So in that case, the Mishnah Paskins, the only other way you have to verify the get is how? To try to ascertain the validity of the signatures themselves. Says the Gemara, Echad Gitin Hashem Ve'Echad Shechri Avadim. So remember the Mishnah, this Mishnah is important, because as much as the previous Sugya began this comparison between Gitin Oshma Shechruri Avadim, this Mishnah now solidifies that comparison. So, Bosai, remember again, the comparison is both of these documents sever a relationship. There's a relationship between a husband and wife, which what we'll call a stam get. A get goes ahead, we call it Gitin Oshma, but for our purpose, we'll just call it a get. A get severs. And there is a relationship between an adon, between a master and his eved. A get shichror, a document of emancipation, severs that relationship. The Mishnah is now telling us these two documents are similar in many ways. Number one way in which they're similar is both require the shaliach to say b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam when they are being brought from chutz la'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. So it says the Gemara Tan Rabbanon, b'shlosha drachim shavu gitin hashem l'shichri avadim. There are three ways in which Gitei Nashim are comparable to Shichruri Avadim. That a get is comparable to a get Shichrur. It will say, by the way, Rashi in the previous sugya quoted that the way we know this comparison is there's a gzeirah shava of law. It says law in the context of Gittin, it says law in the context of Avadim, and that gzeirah shava ultimately tells us, compares for us, the process of dissolution of these relationships. So says the Gemara, there are three ways in which a get is comparable to a get shichrur. Shavu l'molech u'lemevi. So comparison number one is molech u'lemevi rabosai means that remember that whether you bring the get from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz or from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, you have to say what? Befanei nechtav u'befanei nechtav. That's number one. Number two, v'chol get sheyesh alav eid kusi pasul. So we'll say, so we've gotten to know the kusim well throughout our journeys in Shas. So remember again, the Kusim ultimately were a nation of people who were resettled in Eretz Yisrael by Shalmaneser, the king of Ashur. The Kusim were idolaters, but then there was an outbreak of lions in Eretz Yisrael, which is strange in Eretz Yisrael, and they converted to Judaism. They converted because they saw it as a sign from God because of their idolatry. However, they never fully stopped. They never fully stopped worshiping idolatry. And as such, their conversion or their status in Judaism is always questionable. You will see in certain areas they're treated like full-fledged Jews. In other areas, they are not. So the Gemara says over here, for example, any get and which a witness who's a kusi signed on is pasul. Chutz migitin Hashem v'shichrei avadim. Right? Isn't that interesting? That again, if you have an eight kusi who signs on a get of a woman or on a get shichrer, so the get is good. We'll discuss why that is. V'chol ashtaros ha'olim amud beis. V'chol ashtaros ha'olim barkos. Barkos she'ol bekochavim. And all documents, Rabbi Osei, that are brought in Gentile courts, Rashi says, "Ha'olim ba'arkos sh'ovdei kochavim, shenasu ashtaros ayidei bezin sh'ovdei kochavim." Any documents that are made in Gentile courts, that are written in Gentile courts, afapi shechos mehen ovdei kochavim sherin. They both say, even though those who sign on the get may be Gentiles, generally these documents are kosher. Now, we'll say, now what does that mean? So, for example, let's say I go ahead and I sell a piece of land, and instead, let's say I want it recorded in a court. So, really, a Jew should always go to Beis Din first. But let's say I didn't go to Beis Din, instead I went to a court, regular arkos, to have the document drafted up. The halacha is that the document is binding. Why is the document binding? Why is it kosher? Look at Rashi, very important halacha. The dina de malchusa dina. Rashi says, because again, remember, as long as the laws of the land do not contradict the laws of the Torah, so the laws of the land are binding. When the laws of the land contradict the laws of the Torah, they are not binding upon the Jew. That's a more complicated, in-depth discussion, but very important to so. For these purposes, what the Gemara is saying over here, if that is a matter of contract law, that again is this pretty much within normative bounds of halacha, so you decided to have your contract drawn up in a secular court, so even though it's Gentile witnesses, the contract is binding, with the exception, of course, of Chutz migitin Hashem v'shichrei avadim, with the exception, of course, of Kitin Hashem v'shichrei avadim. We'll say, so if you go to court to have a divorce document written up, so that divorce document may be fine for the dissolution of your assets, but it does not go ahead and work to actually affect divorce. Now, why not? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Chutz migitin Hashem, delav b'nei krisos nina. Because we'll say, we will see that in order to go ahead and be able to draft an effective get, you have to be within the parsha of Gittin. You have to be subject to the laws of Gittin. But when it comes, so we'll say, interestingly enough, so why is it that if I go ahead and I go to a secular court to draft a loan document or to draft a real estate document, so why is it that that document is valid? Because remember, Bnei Noach, Gentiles, are also subject to maintaining a normative system of monetary justice, of financial justice. So as such, we're kind of in the same boat with this. So therefore, if I go to their court to draft these documents, the documents are binding. Gentiles are not at all subject to the laws of Gittin. Or for that matter, and again, remember, whatever is true by Get is going to be true by Get Shechor because of law of Gzer Shava. So because they're not in the Parsha of Gittin, therefore they're not subject to these laws, therefore, again, anything they do in their courts vis-a-vis Gittin is going to be absolutely meaningless. So I will say, these are three ways in which Get Isha, Gitei Nashim, and Shechrei Avadim are the same. Furthermore, Kediv Rabbi Meir Barba. Rabbi Meir says there's a fourth comparison as well. What's the fourth comparison? Ha'omer tein get zele ishti ushtar shichr zele avdi. If a person says, give this get to my wife and the shtar shichr to my eved, ratza lachzor b'shneyem yachzor div Rabbi Meir. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Meir says that lemaise, if I go, a man goes ahead and sends the shliach, give a get to my wife. Shliach leaves. Or a man says, give a get to my eved, and shliach leaves, the man has the ability to retract that shlichus. He has the ability to cancel the get. Rabbi Meir says, that's a comparison. So Rashi points out over here, yachzor, tekasava Rabbi Meir, hefsid v'chov hein lahen, la'oso shenish luchu lahen, vein chavin la'adam el b'fanav. I will say, so we're not going to get into this now because we'll get into this more tomorrow, but this is a fascinating idea. Rabbi Meir holds that both a get, a divorce, as well as a get shichrur, are both detrimental to the woman as well as to the eved. So therefore, there's a general concept of zachen la'adam shelo b'fanav. You could do something good for someone, even not in their presence, but you can't do something bad, to something detrimental to someone without their knowledge. It can't become binding. So therefore, Rabbi Meir says that since a get, and gite noshim, and gite and shekru avadim are detrimental, therefore, even if you dispatch the shaliach to go ahead and deliver these items, ultimately, again, you could cancel the shlichus. The Rabbanon disagree, because we'll see the Rabbanon hold that both a get as well as a get shikr are both beneficial to the parties involved. So we'll discuss that. So the Gemara says, Bishlam of the Rabbanon, I'm sorry, according to the Rabbanon, we'll see that a get is detrimental, but a get shikr is beneficial. So Bishlam of the Rabbanon, l'minyan, l'mi utihad Rabbi Meir, so therefore when the Braisa said that there are three ways in which gite nashim and shikr avadim are comparable, according to the Rabbanon, the purpose of that number is to exclude the case of Rabbi Meir. However, again, El Rabbi Meir minyan lemi utemai. But according to Rabbi Meir, what does the number three? What does the number come to? So, meaning, the fact that the brisa begins with a number indicates to us that there is an excluded case. So, which case is excluded? Had v'sanya edim shein yodim lachtom. But listen to this case: if you have witnesses who don't know how to sign their names, it's amazing. Witnesses who don't know how to sign their names. So what do? Mekarim lehem niyar chalak. We go ahead and we tear. We essentially what we're doing over here is we're creating a stencil, right? We go ahead and we tear a blank piece of paper. Umemalin es akrem dio. In other words, we cut out for them the form of their names, and they fill in the stencil with ink, thereby signing their names. Amar Reb Shimon Gamliel. The Medrash Amurim. When is this true? Begitei Noshim. Both say this is only true begitei noshim. Aval shichrui avadim ushar kol ashtaros. But when it comes to, let's say, a get shichrur and any other document, im yodim likros v'lachtom chosmin, if they know how to read and to sign, they sign. V'im lav in chosmin, and if not, they don't sign. So both say here's a distinction. When it comes to gitei noshim, interestingly enough, even if the aid does not know how to sign, will literally make a signature stencil for him, and I'll fill in the blanks. That's only true by Gittin, doesn't apply by any other case. By other shtaros, by shichrei avadim, if you don't know how to read, you don't know how to sign, you can't sign. To which the Gemara says, Kriya man dekar shmei, why does the Braisa bring up reading over here? Who's talking about reading? We're just talking about signing. Here's how you have to read the Braisa. Edim shen yodim likros, if witnesses don't know how to read, Korim ifnehem v'chosmin. We read the document in front of them, and once we read it to them, then they sign. V'she'ein yodim lachtom. And if they don't know how to sign, then mekarin lahem. Then literally we create for them a signature stencil, and they go out and they fill it in. So we'll say, here is a case in which, again, gitei nashim and shichrui avadim are dissimilar. Because in the case of gitei nashim, in the case of shichrui avadim, and for that matter, every other shtar, if a witness doesn't know how to sign, then what? Then what? Then you can't be an aid. By gitei nashim, even if you don't know how to sign, you could still go ahead and be an aid. We just make you a stencil. Rashi points out over here that the logic behind that is, this is a kula by gitin in order to avoid a guna. So we'll say, since by get, we want to get the woman to get, so even if the witness is mamish totally illiterate, doesn't know how to read, doesn't know how to write, we will help them sign their names in order to allow the woman to get her get. So visulaka, so the Gemara says, is that all? Meaning, are there not any other comparisons between gitei nashim and shechruy avadim? Vaha'ika, but there's also the case, Greg, just be careful, I think your foot is tangled in the wire. Va'ika, but there's the following case. Ha'omer, tenu get zela ishti. If a person says, give this get to my wife, ushtar shichr zela avdi, and give this shtar shichr, this document of emancipation, to my eved, umes, and he dies, lo yitnu la'achar misa. So Rabbi say, you can't give the document after death. Which, again, so logically speaking, we'll discuss this idea of ein get la'achar misa. There's no such thing as a get that's delivered after the death of the husband. And so too, there's no get shichrur that's delivered after the death of the adon. So here's another comparison. Tenu mana laploni, umes, b'yerebosa. On the other hand, if let's say Reuven says to his shaliach, give $100 to Shimon, and what happens? Reuven dies. Then what's the halacha? Yitnu la'achar misa. You can give that even after the death of the, what's the word? Conveyor? The person who's giving the gift. No, the person who's giving the gift. Donor. Thank you. You give it. You can go and you can give it even after the death of the donor. So the point I was making over here is what? Here you see another comparison between Gitei Nashim and Shechrei Avadim, that both of them, if the person, husband/master, went ahead and ordered the writing and delivery of the get prior to his death, and then he dies, these documents cannot be delivered after his death. So why don't we include this as well on the list? Ki katani milsa delese bishtaris. We're only including in the list things that do not apply to other shtaris. Milsa de asi de ise bishtaris lo katani. But Rav say ultimately again, things that apply to other shtaris as well, we do not go ahead and include in this list. What does that mean? The shalach rabin mishmed Rabbi Abo, because rabin sent down the name of Rabbi Abo. Havu yodin sheshalach Rabbi Lazar legola mishum Rabbeinu. Rabbi Lazar sent the message to the diaspora communities in the name of Rabbeinu. Shchiv meirasha amar. Rabbi say again, same thing. Deathbed person on his deathbed who says kisvu utinu mana laploni. Go ahead and write. Kisvu, write down. And give a money, give $100 to Ploni, umes. And then what happens? The Shchiv Meira dies. Ein kosvin v'nosnin. Rabbo said we do not write the document, nor do we convey the money. Why? Shema lo gamar lahaknosa ela bishtar ve'in shtar la'achar misa. So Rabbo said this is a very interesting case because we just said before that what? That remember a Shchiv Meira has the ability to convey a gift even without a formal kinyan. Now here's a very interesting case. Let's say a Shchiv Meira says, Shchiv Meira says, I want to give $1,000 to Reuven, but I want you to write down a document. I want you to record the gift in a document. And then what happens? And then Shchiv Meira dies. So the Gemara says, in that case, we don't give the money to Reuven. Why not? Because the fact that the Shchiv Meira said, record it in a document, seems to indicate to us that he wanted it done in a document. Because remember, Shchiv Meira doesn't need a document. Shchiv Meira could just convey ownership to something through his words. The fact that he mentioned the document seems to indicate to us that he wants a document. The problem is now what? Now that he died, Ein Shtar La'achar Misa. There is no document after death. So to bring this full circle, the Gemara is saying over here, remember, what was the Gemara asking? The Gemara said, you said in Amud Aleph, there are only three ways in which a get shechra resembles a gitei nashim. It's not true, there's a fourth. What's the fourth? That if a husband ordered a get delivered to his wife, or an adon ordered a get shechra delivered to his eved, and then they die, we do not deliver the get. Why? Because ein get isha and ein get shechra la'achar misa. Is that not a fourth way in which they are comparable? To which the Gemara says, no. When the Braisa lists comparisons between gitei nashim and shechra avadim, we're looking for things that are unique to gittin that do not apply in other cases of shtaros. But this concept of Ein Shtar La'achar Misa is not unique to Gitei Nashim and Shechrei Avadim. Rather, Ein Shtar La'achar Misa also applies in what? In other cases. For example, in this case of Shchiv Meira, where he wanted to give a gift, but he wanted it done through a document, and then he dies before we draft the document. We don't draft or deliver documents or execute gifts based on documents after the death of the donor, and therefore again we don't list this comparison in the case because it's not a unique comparison to gittin. It applies to other shtaros as well. So we'll stop over here for today. Again, tomorrow we're going to pick up with the same discussion, namely again comparisons between gitei nashim and shechrei avadim. So